Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Today is our last Sunday as part of Awaken. You still have several more days to go as you pray for folks in our city, but this is the last Sunday of Awaken. It's been a blessing, and I've heard so many good stories, and actually we'll share a couple of those with you this morning a little bit later on. But as we talk about being lost this morning, I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine. His name was David. And David's mom and dad, this is back in the 70s, and other people that I knew, we drove big vans then. I don't know what the deal was. It wasn't minivans. This was before minivans. This was like big passenger vans. Some of you are shaking your head. You had those vans. Anyway, David's family had a big van, and they had gone on a trip of some kind. I mean, not a long trip, but they'd gone somewhere, and they were driving home late at night. And David fell asleep in the back of that van, way back there behind his parents. So fell asleep in the back of that van. And it was late, and they were tired, and they pulled into the garage and got out of the van and went in the house and got ready for bed and fell asleep. And about 2 or 3 in the morning, all of a sudden, David's mom sat up in bed. Where's David? Where's David? She started waking up her husband. She said, "Where's David? We didn't put David to bed. Something's wrong. Where's David?" And so they jumped out of bed. They ran into David's room. Sure enough, David was not in his bed. They searched through the house. They couldn't find David anywhere. Finally, they thought, well, maybe he's sleepwalking, or maybe he got up and wandered off. And so his dad went and got in the van and backed out of the garage and started driving around the neighborhood looking for David, when all of a sudden, David sat up in the back seat and said, "Are we home yet?" See, David was lost when he had actually never left. And Jesus is going to tell us a story this morning about that very same truth, being lost even though we've never left. Well, Jesus, we've been in Luke chapter 15 all month long, and Jesus is still telling his parables to this group of people who are gathered there. And scripture says in the first couple of verses of Luke chapter 15, there's two different groups of people. The first group is, it says, they're tax collectors and they are sinners. And these are going to be people who kind of self-identify as people who are far removed from God, people who are not in good standing with God. That's kind of the way they would self-identify. They're sinners and they're tax collectors. There's a second group there. They're called the Pharisees and the religious leaders. These are folks who self-identify as being in good standing with God. These are folks who would be preachers and elders and teachers and small group leaders, and you can just go down the list. They identify as being in good standing with God. And so you've got these two groups of people who are there. And the first group, pretty naturally related to these parables that Jesus has been telling about being lost and being found. He's talked about the wandering when he talked about the sheep. He's talked about the wounded when he talked about the coin. He's talked about those who rebelled when he talked about the prodigal son. That first group was listening, and they were probably identifying with that. That second group has been listening, and they probably have not been identifying because they don't see themselves as lost. They have probably been looking over at the other group, kind of nodding their head and hoping they get what Jesus is saying. But I wonder if Jesus didn't look at this second group as he finished this third story. Because it's possible to be lost and to never have left. And I believe that God is looking for some of you this morning All month long, we have been praying for lost people in our city. And we want the wanderers. And we want the wounded. And we want the rebellious to know that God is looking for them. God is searching for them. God wants to find them. But this morning, God wants some of us who are religious to know that He's looking for us as well. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in the middle of that parable in verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son, first part of this story has been about this younger son. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. And when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother is back, he said. And your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating his safe return. Now, I want you to just try to put yourself in this picture for just a minute. This is not a party that has been planned for a long time. There were not a lot of preparations for the party. There weren't invitations that went out for the party. The brother didn't know anything about the party. He's been out working. But this party has been thrown by this father at the last minute because his son, who was lost and who he thought was dead, is alive and has come home. And so no holds barred. They're throwing a party. So put yourself in the shoes of that older son for just a minute. Maybe it's on a Monday, and he's been working all day long in a job that he really doesn't like. And he makes his way home, and as he gets closer to his home, he begins to see that there are cars parked everywhere on both sides of the street. And he's wondering what's going on in the neighborhood on a Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And the closer he gets to his house, the more he realizes, wait a minute, most of these cars are centered on my house. In fact, there's cars parked all over the yard. What are they doing there? And so he finds a place to pull up, and he opens his door, and the first thing he hears is music playing. Probably good country music playing. And then he takes a big whiff, and what he smells is meat. Meat on the grill. And there are people mingling all over the place. And so he grabs somebody and he says, what is going on? I mean, this is my house. What is happening here? And they said, haven't you heard? Your brother is alive. Your brother has come home. And your father has thrown a party, the party to end all parties. And in the Hallmark version of this story, what happens? The brother, the older brother, is so excited and so amazed that he can't wait. And he runs into the house and he finds his younger brother and he just grabs him in a bear hug and he squeezes him tight and just unashamedly tears roll down his face because his brother is home and he joins the party. But this isn't the Hallmark version. Verse 28 says that the older brother was angry. So it's easy just to read that sentence. The older brother was angry. Da, da, da. Just think about this for a minute. The older brother was angry. Grit your teeth. He's angry. And he would not go in. See, what would cause that older brother to react to this moment of redemption with anger and defiance? And I think it can be called the spirit of religion, a religious spirit. This brother was full of a religious spirit, and a religious spirit is not necessarily from the Holy Spirit. And the reality is that many with a religious spirit are lost, even though they've never left. See, a religious spirit starts when we learn to obey all the rules, and we get good at obeying all the rules. And then a religious spirit grows when we learn to fulfill all the responsibilities, and we work overtime at making sure all the responsibilities are filled. But that religious spirit is full grown, and this is important. That religious spirit is full grown when these two things, this obeying the rules and fulfilling the responsibilities, replaces a relationship with our Father. That's the danger of the religious spirit, that it replaces the relationship with the Father. I know all the rules. I know how to keep the rules. I know all my responsibilities. I know how to fill my responsibilities. I'm good at those things. But when it comes to a relationship with God, the religious spirit person saying, I'm really, honestly, if you get me in a moment where I'll tell you, I'm really not sure I know if I have a relationship with God. Not sure, really sure I know what my Father is really like. And some of us have been in church our whole lives, and we know all the rules, and we sing all the songs. We know the bass part to all the good songs. We know all the right answers to all the right questions. We know when to sit down. We know when to stand. We know all of our responsibilities. We know when to sign up for things and when to raise our hand for things and when to serve and when to give. And we fast and we pray during Awaken. But if someone asks us, do you know God? Have you experienced God? Have you heard His voice or felt His presence deep down? Many of us would say, I'm really not sure. But the religious spirit is the easier way to go. It's the path of least resistance. Because religion is easier than relationship. Because in religion, I know the three things I'm supposed to do today to be good. And I can do them, and I'm good. But in my experience with other people, and in my own personal experience, I know that it really doesn't work. In fact, it leaves me constantly wondering if I really am good with God. Because that religious spirit holds no joy. It holds no freedom. It holds no life or no peace or no hope. And really, the world wants nothing to do with it. And maybe rightly so. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. I do not like preaching this sermon. I don't like preaching these kinds of sermons. I don't like even the hint of sounding like I'm against obeying the rules. Or that I'm against fulfilling responsibilities. I actually think we need more people who are obeying the rules and fulfilling the responsibilities, and the world would be a better place, right? So I really honestly don't like preaching these kind of sermons that hint at diminishing those things. But I am preaching this sermon for a couple of reasons. And the first one is because Jesus told this story. And He told this story to tell me what people are like. He told this story to tell me what I am like. He told this story to tell me what my Father is like. And I'm bound to say what Jesus said. So that's one reason I'm preaching this sermon. Another reason I'm preaching this sermon is because of the gospel that Paul preached over and over and over and over in Scripture. And it's interesting to me. Well, first of all, just the gospel that he preached is so clearly stated in Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to read it from what's called the Amplified Version. For it is by grace, and then the Amplified Version explains things. It is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, brackets, not by your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. That's the gospel that Paul preached everywhere he went, all over the known world. And I can't help but notice and be interested that in Romans specifically, when Paul preaches that gospel, religious people question it. And I'm speaking for myself. I've done this as well. But when Paul preaches that kind of gospel, religious people, people full of the religious spirit, they question it. I'm just going to give you an example. This is in Romans chapter 3. Here's the way Paul preaches the gospel there in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Christ Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. That's Paul preaching the gospel. And immediately, the religious spirit raises the question in verse 27. But can't we boast? Can't we boast that we have done something to be accepted by God? And then Paul immediately answers, no, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. That's chapter 3. Paul does it again in chapter 4. And the question is posed, yeah, but what about Abraham? And Paul says, well, let's go back to Genesis 15. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of faith. And then Paul goes on and he tells us that what's true about Abraham is true about us. Verse 4, when people work, their wages are not a gift. And that's going to be an important line for our story we're going to finish telling. When people work, the wages don't end up being a gift, but they end up being something that you've earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. That's chapter 3 and verse chapter 4. This goes all the way through Romans. Paul keeps preaching the gospel, and these people keep asking these questions. I love chapter 6, because in chapter 6, verse 1, this question gets raised. And again, it's a question I've wanted to raise before. But wait a minute, Paul. Are we supposed to keep on sinning then so that there'll just be more and more grace? And Paul says, absolutely not. And I love the way Paul answers that question. He says, let's talk about your baptism. And he takes us back to what happened with Jesus when we were baptized. Now, it may feel like I got off topic and off tangent, but in my own mind, I didn't. Because I've started off by saying this religious spirit is all about rule keeping and responsibility fulfilling, and it makes me uncomfortable to make those sound like bad things. But I have to preach this sermon because Paul preached this sermon and because Jesus told this story. Jesus told these kinds of stories. And I also have to say it because in my own life and in the lives of too many people that I know and that I love, too many people in church over time end up with this religious spirit. And I know how unsure it leaves you. And I know how little hope it offers you. And I know how empty it really ends up leaving you. I've experienced that firsthand. Thank God I've experienced the joy and the confidence and the assurance and the hope that comes from fully trusting God rather than trusting me. And I want that for you as well. So it was this religious spirit that had hold of the older brother. And here's how you can know if it has hold of you too. See, that religious spirit puts an overemphasis on the forms, on the external forms, and that religious spirit puts an underemphasis on internal formation. That's the real problem with the religious spirit. This overemphasis on these external forms, but this underemphasis on what is going on inside, the formation of me. Because it's not bad to keep rules. In fact, it's good to keep rules. It is not bad to fulfill responsibilities. It is great to fulfill responsibilities. But unless you allow God to transform your inner being through His Holy Spirit, there will be a day when all of that religion will be exposed for the counterfeit that it is. Because when there's an overemphasis in your life on what you're doing and an underemphasis on your life on what you're becoming, then you end up getting filled with this religious spirit. And honestly, you end up being as lost as the older brother was, even though you never left. So let's look at how the Father responds to the religious. We've seen how He responded to those who wandered and those who were wounded and those who rebelled. How does God respond to the religious? Verse 28, His Father came out. And He begged him. But the son replied, "All these years I've slaved for you." And I think it's not a coincidence the Bible uses that word, because that religious spirit ends up feeling a lot like drudgery and slavery. And it will enslave you as sure as a rebellious spirit will. But the father came out and he begged him and replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me." Remember, this son is angry. He's not talking politely to his father. He's pointing his finger at his father. "All these years I've slaved for you and never once have I refused to do a single thing you told me. And all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours..." Not my brother. "This son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes. You celebrate by killing the fatted calf." Do you hear the indignation in the older son's voice? And does it ring true? Have you been there when you've seen God's grace poured out on someone else? On someone that you really think is undeserving? And you just want to talk to God about it? Because you're angry. See, how do we get to that place where we obey all the rules and we fulfill all the responsibilities, but yet we don't know the heart of our Father. We don't know what He is really, really like. Now, we said last week that the rebellious child began by believing a lie, and the lie was that to have the good life, I got to get away from the Father. But see, the religious spirit believes a lie as well. He believed he had to earn his keep to stay with the Father. The older brother was doing what religious people do best. He was out working while the party was happening. He was working for his father, but he wasn't working because he loved his father. He was working because he wanted something from his father. And there's a difference in someone who is filled with this religious spirit and someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit. The one under the religious spirit works for the Father to earn something. And the one with the Holy Spirit works for the Father because he's been given something. And it's possible to check all the right boxes and do all the right things and to be totally lost in the Father's house. Because it's possible to be in the Father's house and not really have a relationship with the Father. So that's one lie the older brother believed. There's another lie that he believed. He believed that there isn't enough of the Father's goodness to go around. Fundamentally, that's really a lot of what this came down to. He believed there wasn't enough of the Father's goodness to go around. "Look what you're doing for the younger son," he said. "He squandered everything. You gave it to him and he squandered it. What about me? I've been here all along. When do I get what I deserve?" And in that moment, he's no different than when the younger son came to the father and demanded his. Both sons believed a lie, and both sons were lost. Some are lost because they've wandered. Some are lost because they're wounded. Some are lost because they've rebelled. And some are lost because of this religious spirit. And it's time to wake up. Said earlier in this series that we tell stories to our kids to put them to sleep. Jesus tells stories so his children will wake up. And for some of us this morning, it's time to wake up. Did you notice that the father went to the older son? So we always talk about how the father ran to the younger son, and that's this beautiful moment. But this moment is just as beautiful. The father's inside at the party he's throwing for his younger son, and the music's going, and the meat's cooking, and all the folks are there, and the father notices. See, he always notices when one of his children are lost, and he notices, and he thinks, where's my oldest son? He's always with me. Where's my oldest son? And he goes looking for him. He leaves the party to go and find the older son. See, God doesn't just go after the rebellious. God goes after the religious too. And I want to just say with all tenderness and with all sincerity that when Jesus comes back and is throwing that great heavenly party and there's music playing and there's good food cooking, I don't want any of us to miss it because we're outside mad at some of the folks who ended up getting in. And I think one of the reasons he hasn't come back yet is because he's waiting on some of us. He's patient, wanting everyone to repent, including some of the folks who have been in the house the whole time. Verse 31, his father said to him, "Look, dear son, you've always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, and he's come back to life. He was lost, and now he is found." See, the father doesn't come out to him and scold him. The father doesn't come out to him and point out his pride. He doesn't come out and say, "You've been in church your whole life. How can you still not know who I am?" No, he says, "My dear son." And see, this is how the father melts the heart of religion. He comes in to the relationship and he says, "My dear son, my dear daughter, my dear child." It's an invitation into our identity. We are sons and daughters of God. So it starts with this invitation into our identity. It's also an invitation into a relationship. He says, "You're always with me. We're always together. The Father wants to be with you. He wants you to want to be with Him. Not just out of obligation or drudgery or hoping He'll keep you around. No, He wants you to be with Him because you want Him and He wants you." And so it's an invitation into identity, an invitation into relationship. And the Father comes also with an invitation into His abundance. "Everything I have is yours," God said. Everything. See, religion hopes that one day I'll get what I deserve. But relationship knows that today I already have everything He has. It's already mine. Everything God has. All I have to do is ask. And He'll give me out of the riches of His heavenly storehouse. He'll give me love, and He'll give me joy, and He'll give me peace, and He'll give me patience, and He'll give me kindness, and He'll give me goodness, and He'll give me grace, and He'll give me mercy, and He'll give me hope, and He'll give me blessing, and He'll give me power, and He'll give me authority, and He'll give me strength. And the list just goes on and on and on, because everything the Father has is already yours for the asking. And then that's the end of the story. Jesus wraps it up without wrapping it up. And we don't know how it ends. We don't know what that older brother did. But it leaves it open to wonder what you're going to do. Because you get to finish the story. Whether we continue, if this is you this morning, to live in this self-induced prison of religion, or whether you actually leave that and join the party. because God is saving those who are lost. I got a call, Paula and I got a call from dear friends of ours this week. And they just wanted to let us know what God has been doing in their son during Awaken. And I had promised them before Awaken started that their son would be one of my eight, because he was lost. He had wandered. He had rebelled against his father. And I have fasted and I have prayed for him every single day during Awaken, as his parents have done and as I know others are doing. And they called to say God is finding him. They called to say that he's coming home. He's making his way home, that young man. And I'm so thankful that God is doing that. See, God is finding and he is saving those who have wandered away. He's doing it. We're asking him to, and he's doing it. God is finding and he is saving those who have been wounded. We've asked him to, and he's doing it. God is finding and he is saving those who have rebelled. We've asked him to do it, and he is doing it. And as much as he is doing that, God is saving and finding the religious. I personally know of someone who has been freed from the religious spirit during Awaken. After years of doubt and wondering if they were good enough and if they had done enough, something changed and they discovered God was their father, not their taskmaster. And they're free and they're saved. And it's a wonderful thing to watch and to experience. And that could be you as well this morning. Because I don't know if you've thought about it, but while you've been praying for the city, some in the city have been praying for you. You're on somebody's sheet somewhere, and every day, somebody is fasting, and they're praying for you. And so if you've been trusting yourself rather than trusting Jesus, I want you to hear about the wonderful grace of Jesus. I want you to know the party that God is throwing. If you have been working your tail off, hoping God will notice, I want to invite you to come into his party. If you've been wearing yourself out, keeping all the rules and fulfilling all the responsibilities, but you realize, I don't really know if I know the Father anymore, I want to invite you into the party. I'm going to ask our elders and wives again this week if they'll go to the back of the room, because they want to be ready to receive you and pray with you. If this has resonated with you, I want you to know that, I've got some resources that will help you discover who the Father is. To discover what an incredible and wonderful and good father he is, and what a relationship with him on a day-in, day-out basis looks like. I have a friend who last year during Awaken was saved. And he had grown up with a really strong religious spirit. It had caused him just to completely rebel, and he had quit God. But last year during Awaken, God found him and God saved him. And all through this year, it's been incredible to walk with him and to see as he has discovered this wonderful Father and what it's like to walk in a relationship with him and to have confidence and assurance and hope and salvation. To be full rather than empty. And I want that for anyone here this morning who the Holy Spirit is nudging you. Don't let this last Sunday of Awaken end without realizing the Father has left and he's come to you. And he's inviting you. We're going to sing an old song. The song is called, God is Calling the Prodigal. But since this week, We're talking about us. I've asked Joanne to change the words, and we're just singing this morning, God is calling His children to come without delay. If you've never left, but you sense that you're lost, God is calling this morning.